As Saturday dawned and Australians remembered the tragedies of war, sadly another tragedy was unfolding in Nepal. An earthquake reaching 7.8 on the Richter scale hit the Lamjung and Gorkha regions and the capital city, Kathmandu. Thousands of deaths have made this the worst disaster there in 80 years. Author Naomi Reid is a woman who has spent much time in Nepal. She was a missionary there for 6 years with International Nepal Fellowship, and the nation and its people are dear to her heart. Thanks for joining me, Naomi.
Thanks, Claire. Really good to be on the line.
Yeah. Tell us in a nutshell first about your time in Nepal.
Yeah, so we lived there and served there for 6 years, 3 years in the 90s and then 3 years more recently. We've got three teenage sons, so we came home to Australia when they were due for high school. But I think Nepal has just, because of 6 years of living there and so many friends there, and just almost feels like the whole country is a friend, you know what I mean? So hearing the news on Saturday, we were just in shock. We were staring at the screen as more and more images came up and just completely distressed and in shock, I think, just to, not only because of immediately so concerned for all of our friends. Facebook, of course, immediately tells me that 140 of my friends are in the earthquake vicinity and haven't been accounted for. But not only our immediate friends, but just thinking, you know, of the whole country. And I guess having lived there for so long, you can imagine the difficulties and the pain and the agony of it all. Because, I mean, anyone who has travelled to Nepal and gone trekking realises that it's so mountainous, and the villages, particularly in this area where it's been the epicenter, well, all over actually. I mean, most of Nepal is villages, and they're dotted all around the mountains. So almost every mountain is covered in, you know, in villages, and there's terraces of rice, and there's not roads. You know, most villages are actually only accessible by foot, and you know, some of them are a day's walk from a roadhead. So when a disaster like this happens, and the villages that have been most affected, you know, are still, they're not been reached yet. They're still the days walk away, and there's not enough helicopters, it sounds like, at the moment. So yeah, so it's just been really distressing watching the news and being so far away.
What part of Nepal did you spend most of your time in?
So 3 years were in Pokhara, which is in the west and has been a little bit affected by the earthquake. The next 3 years were in Dulikhel, which is closer to Kathmandu, and we've heard that villages just close to Dulikhel have been completely destroyed. So we immediately were so concerned for people that we knew and love in that area. We've heard from some of them, but we haven't really had proper news. Even the hospital in Dulikhel, it's built on the side of a hill. You know, it's not. And that's the thing, I guess, with Nepal. Not only is the geography makes it so difficult in terms of accessibility, but I mean, the kind of infrastructure of roads and buildings, that, you know, they're not built according to standards that we would find acceptable in the West. And the health system as well, although it has, of course, improved over years, it's still, you know, it's still stretched on a normal day, let alone on days like this. And so we're just really burdened for the whole country.
Your husband, is that right, did some medical work in the nation?
That's right. So we're both physios, and we spent the first 3 years just working at the Western Regional Hospital in Pokhara and the Leprosy Hospital, and then the next 3 years were involved in training local Nepali physios, and he did most of that because I was homeschooling our kids. But so that means, yeah, that he's got contacts with physios all around the country, and we're still in good contact. So whether there's an opportunity for Darren to go and help at some point is something that we're praying about. But mostly, you know, we need to pray immediately for just the response of immediate relief in terms of getting medicines and food and water and rescue teams to the worst hit villages. They need more helicopters. The Indian military are sending helicopters in, but even they're too big to land, so then they need smaller Nepali helicopters to get supplies from the Indian helicopters to the people. And I think everybody at this point in time, well, they want to know, how can we give, what can we send? And the best way really is to do that in a coordinated way with teams and organisations that are already there and already have the history and are working alongside of the Nepali government in a deliberate way. So we're particularly obviously suggesting people go to INF, to their website, to support them. We've been doing, INF has been doing medical camps in Nepal for you know, more than 20 years anyway. So they're all set up to go, but they will need a lot more funds to be able to meet the need at the moment. So, yeah, giving towards INF, UMN is another big organisation there. TIF Fund seconds to both, and, of course, World Vision. There's lots of people doing things, but just to think quite deliberately about our giving and what's the best way to do that.
Sure. Can you describe what aid workers might be experiencing as someone who's worked in that sort of field yourself?
So we've been in contact with, obviously, with friends in Kathmandu at the moment, and they're all describing that for the last 3 days, well, the night since the earthquake, they've all been sleeping outside. Most of our friends are in the basketball court at the local, it's in the KISC, which is the Kathmandu International Study Centre. So they're all there and they're just spending time and sharing stories. The difficulty, of course, is that water and electricity in Kathmandu has been, services haven't come back on yet. So that's going to get very hard. And I just read a report as well that things like diarrhoea and other health-related illnesses, of course, will begin and get worse with the lack of water and sanitation. So many things to worry about. And I guess Nepal is a country where, you know, those kinds of things are already a problem. So it just makes it so much worse.
And who do you feel is the most vulnerable in this situation?
It's the villagers. You see, most of the villages also in Nepal, not only are they inaccessible by road, but they consist of people who are subsistence farmers who have a tiny little rice paddy and grow enough rice maybe to feed themselves for some part of the year. But, you know, that's what their normal life is like anyway. So when this happens, it's just disaster. So our hearts go out to, the poorest of the villages and the ones particularly, of course, who've been crushed and haven't got aid yet. So,
And if you would, if you were to ask people to pray, what particularly would you like them to pray for?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's all the immediate things like pray that they can get the resources that they need in terms of medicines and water and shelter and food. But of course, more than that, as a Christian, we just really want. Well, first of all, this is an opportunity, I guess, to show and to reveal our shared humanity, that, you know, the world cares for them. And in that, of course, that the hope that we have as Christians is that God is with us all the time and he cares for us. He loved us so much that he sent his son, that we could know him. And we have that hope, I guess, that in times like this, it makes it so much more clear that our hope and comfort does, we know, we believe, come from God. And it is reality. And what does that mean? And how is that shared through Christian comfort and encouragement and love and just being human beings together in this world. So just praying that there is a deep awareness of that comes through human fellowship. It goes deeper than that, the hope that we have in a God who does love us, who is with us even in pain that we cannot even comprehend, but is still offering us hope today and hope forever in a place where there won't be any more earthquakes.
Yeah, for sure. Lots to be concerned about, but also lots that we can pray about and lots that we can do as we give to organisations that are doing very good work over there. Thanks very much for your time, Naomi Reid. And if you'd like to donate to the International Nepal Fellowship, which Naomi worked with as a missionary in Nepal, go to www.inf.org.